I'm going to preach something today. I'm going to call it, My Father is Greater Than All. My Father is Greater Than All. I would like to invite you to stand just for a moment, just to give the reading of the scriptures. And again, ask yourself, to you, is this the Word of God? Because what I'm about to do is the purest help you can get. I'm going to read the passage, and that's the most powerful help you'll get. You know, I'm going to preach afterwards, and hopefully in agreement with the Holy Spirit of God, say what the Holy Spirit having to say. But the most powerful thing you can do in your life is just reading the scriptures. And if you receive it as the Word of God, just being read, it'll change the way you open your Bible. And so many things in this life we give our attention to, that if we could just keep the glory within your heart, that when you open this book, you really are opening the Word of God. And so I invite you to stand for that purpose only. John 10 and verse number 1, you'll notice that the Word of God says this. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door of the shepherd, is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep out by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. But a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and he shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I have power to lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down again, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, He hath a devil, and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. Amen. and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Father, would you just please do whatever is pleasing in your sight to make this service everything that you would like it to be. In Jesus' name I ask this all. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. In verse 29, obviously you see where the key thought for the message comes from. And Jesus said a lot of different things here, but when I think about the magnitude of who said this statement, Jesus himself, he says, my Father. Now, Jesus is God in the flesh. He's the Son of God. He's done all these miraculous things. He's done miracles. And he's talking about the reality of everything that he is. And then he makes this statement, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. Now, if we work our way back to the passage, a few things we'll just notice briefly, Dave, believe it or not. Number one, I want you to notice, number one, that my Father is greater than the door. Because Jesus says, if his Father is greater than all, Jesus tells us in verse number one, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up somewhere in the way, the same as a thief and the robber. Now, Jesus makes us understand in verse number seven, he says something very plainly here. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. So Jesus makes it clear, as you know, John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So Jesus is the doorway into the relationship with the Father. And is anybody glad you're saved today?
Amen.
And now, is salvation good news?
Amen.
And so that makes Jesus good news, right? Is the door good news? Aren't you glad for the day you saw that Jesus was the door? Anybody? Are you with me? So is it great to know that Jesus is the door?
Amen.
So that's as great as that is to know that Jesus is the door. Jesus himself says his Father is greater than the door. So if you're thankful for your salvation and everything that comes with that, knowing the day that the light came on, that Jesus is the door unto that salvation, there's something greater than the door. Number two, look at verse number 10. Not only is my Father greater than the door, my Father is greater than the thief. Verse 10, it says, a thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Now, I wrote down the definition of thief. It's one who secretly, unlawfully, and feloniously takes the goods or the personal property of another. Now, a thief, most thieves really aren't, generally aren't bold. Some are today with guns and this. I remember when my sister lives in Los Angeles, she told me about the neighborhood called Watts. They were so crime-ridden, you stop at a stop sign or stoplight, and somebody walk into your car and point a gun and said, I need your vehicle. And that's a pretty bold thief, you know. But in the context here, thieves generally come in secretly because now the thief we know is Satan. Satan really doesn't do too much boldly and openly because when he tried to stand up against God, Jesus himself said he beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. As he tried to steal God's glory in the face of God, boom, it's over just like that. Can't do anything with that. So his backup plan is to come subtly, secretly. Yea, hath God said, ye shall not surely die. And so the thief comes in, but Jesus tells us here that although the thief cometh to steal and to kill and to destroy, and you know, I listened to the news just a little bit yesterday. I don't listen to it very often, but I heard like, okay, one shooting, one knifing, one guy sentence. It's about two or three other bad news things, and this was like in 20 minutes, and this is all because of the thief, because the thief is a murderer, he's a liar from the beginning. And the thief comes to steal and kill to destroy. And as much as it may seem like that the thief is in control, we believe the Bible, right? Jesus said, my Father is greater than all. So the Father is even greater than the thief. And in fact, turn to Ephesians chapter 1. We're coming right back to John. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 4. It says, verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. When Jesus ascended up on high, those who were captive by the thief at one time, he led captivity captive. Jesus had more power even over the thief. And the thief, as bad as things may seem, as bad as it seems like that the thief steals and kills and destroys, my Father is greater than the thief. Number three, next one. My Father is also greater than the good shepherd. In verse 11 it says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. It's a blessing that somebody would give their life for us. Am I right? Thank God that Jesus gave his life for it. That's a blessing. Jesus is not like carnal men that flee when basically they can't, when it no longer works out in their best interest. That's what a hireling does. Most of the jobs never been on when the terms were no longer good, if the pay was no longer good because people were there for the pay. And most people work jobs for money, right? But and so what happens is when the pay is no longer conducive for the employment, those that are hirelings, and this is not wrong in a secular sense, they look elsewhere, right? They say, well, the pay is not good. In fact, I've read some of the day, whatever the new pay thing is that they introduced somewhere, that some people went without pay for up to 2 months, government employees, because they decided they needed this new pay system because it was outdated, and they wanted this new up-to-date technological one, which they said some people were getting paychecks as low as $26. Some were getting like four times their pay. Some were getting no pay. And for 2 months, people weren't even getting their money, you know. And those who were hirelings were kind of losing their mind about that. Can you imagine? You know, anybody ever have any bills that pay automatically? And all of a sudden, you wait for that. You're thinking that bill's going to come through. And if let's say you make $500 a week, and all of a sudden you look at that account and it's negative whatever because the only $26 came. Those that were hirelings say, you know, I want out of this. And Jesus is saying here, there are some hirelings when it comes to in the Christian realm that are not like the good shepherd. If it works out for the advantage, they will labor and be Christ-like. But if it stops working for the advantage, then it's, I no longer want to be Christ-like. That's what a hireling does. But Jesus is not like that. He's a good shepherd, and he gave his life knowing that on the earth it would not work out for his personal advantage. Because when you think about the Lord Jesus Christ, the one moment that it really worked out giving him was after his resurrection, he ascended because they couldn't hurt him anymore. You know, they couldn't abuse him. They couldn't falsely accuse him anymore. And so he's the good shepherd. He gives his life for the sheep. Verse 12, he said, but he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catches them and scattereth them, catches the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling. Now, guess what? If you own your own business and you're not getting paid, if you believe in your business, guess what? You keep the work going because you're not really a hireling. It's the embodiment of what you do. It's your business. And people are the business of the Lord. And so he's not a hireling. He doesn't flee. Again, verse 14, going back to verse 14. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. Sheep I haven't met yet, I must bring them. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. How many people would like to have a friend that you know would stick by you, even if it didn't work out for their advantage? Anybody like friends like that? That's what our Savior's like. And he's a good shepherd like that. And so the Bible says that my Father is greater than even the good shepherd, because my Father is greater than all. John 15:13. Actually, I want to read this right here. Part of the reason that the Lord gives us liberty to serve him is so that the world can see we are really like Jesus. Jesus stated in verse 18 that he had power to lay down his life. The Father loves him, as he stated in verse 17, because Jesus is reflecting upon his Father, for the Father laid down his life in sending the Son. We can glorify our Father and his Son if we take the powerful liberty that the Lord gave us and lay it down for his namesake, knowing that in losing our life, we actually save it, which is in essence taking it again as our Savior did. See, Jesus laid his life down knowing he had power to take it up again. When we lay our life down, see, God allows that because that is where the world finds out if I'm really like Jesus or not. If I am really willing to lay down my life like Jesus and knowing, trusting that I have power to take it up again. How do I take it up again? By faith. Because, to trust that which is against nature, which says, okay, lose your life, you'll find it. As you lose it, guess what? You're finding it because you're taking it. You're taking it. As you lose it, you're taking it. And y'all with me? I don't have to belabor that. Don't want to make it harder than it is. So next thing we see in verse number four, number four, not only is our Father greater than the door, our Father is greater than the thief. He's greater than the good shepherd. He's also greater than the devil. Now, we talked about the thief, but the devil is also in the same company here, because in verse 19, it says, there was a division again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, he hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, these are not the words of him that hath the devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And the reason I bring this out, because Jesus mentions the devil. And so, and then at the end of everything Jesus mentions, he said, my Father is greater than all. So often, I think even in Christian realms, we fear the devil more than we fear God. I remember talking to somebody once, and they said, it was easier to serve the devil. And so they didn't want to have the fight, so they went back to some of the ways of Satan that they used to be involved in, because they feared the consequences of going against the devil more than they had faith in strength of actually following God. But my Father is greater than the devil. And Jesus understands that. And in 1 John chapter 3, we'll come back to John 10 in just a moment. 1 John chapter 3, it is. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 8. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So the Son of God was manifested. He's made known to destroy the works of the devil. Destroy what? The life that Satan has tried to steal from mankind. You know how he deceived Adam and Eve to thinking that if you sin, you won't die. Well, the wages of sin is death. And that has to happen. But guess what? Through Jesus, he destroyed that work of the devil. When Adam and Eve lost their life through sin, Jesus destroyed that work by dying in the place of mankind. And but greater, even as great as that is, we don't have, as great as, although the devil did manifest power, and the devil has works we see here, our Father is greater than the devil. And in James chapter 4, just back a hair, page or two, verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And so you see through the scriptures, he's not as great as an opposing foe as we think he is. He is sometimes. Jesus says, the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee. Well, of course, the prerequisite is submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist it. Because when you submit to God, you'll find out what is really satanic opposition or demonic opposition rather than your self opposition. There's times in my own personal life I blamed some things on the devil that were just I was being chastened because I was headed the wrong direction, or because God is not mocked, so I was receiving a repercussion of my own sin. But when I submit myself to God, I find out the way that God wants me to walk, and then when the devil gets in the way, I resist the devil, and he has to flee. And same thing works for everybody else. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Verse number 8. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him by baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead, and you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over it. So Jesus made an open show, triumph over the works of the devil. But guess what? Our Father is greater than the devil. Now, last of all, in Luke chapter 11, now, and just re-emphasizing as you turn to Luke chapter 11, Jesus says, John 10:20, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. Now, Luke chapter 11. Now, everything's been an introduction for this simple point here. So in this, we're going to... simple point, we're done. We'll take some prayer requests. Now, don't miss this. Now, stay with me. If I could just ask your attention, just for my, if you're a praying person, stay with me just for a few moments here. Now, in Luke 11, this was good. I hope it's good for you. But, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said to them, when ye pray, say, Our Father. Now, I think I've shared this before, but it took me a little bit of time as a parent, but I began to realize that when my children wanted to do certain things, they would send a certain child in to ask. And because they had figured out through experience that I was more likely to say yes to certain children. And I also figured out through the years that it was different, because every situation needed a different child for it. Because there were certain situations that only worked for this child, and there were other situations that worked more for this child. So depending on what they were asking, they would send a different child to ask for something to ask. Now this is, I want you to catch. Now, Jesus is doing some teaching here. So can I have Landon, come here. And Lara. Because Landon was the one I first figured this out with. And so Landon is the one that gets the job done for the sake of illustration. Now, Lara needs something. And she believes that I can grant it. But she believes she needs help in getting it granted. And so Lara is unwilling to come by herself. So she either sends Landon or comes with Landon because she believes that if she comes with Landon, that which is what she really wants, she can get it if she comes with Landon. So they come together, and Landon says, for sake of illustrating, Father, we would like to do some, or better than that, Landon comes together and he says, our Father, we would like to do such and such. Now you can be seated. Now, what I'm trying to get you now, this is Jesus teaching his disciples here. Now, I don't know if you visualize that, and I hope you catch the glory of this. Now, we say a lot about praying in Jesus' name. But Jesus said, when you pray, say, okay, Jesus is teaching his disciples. And he says, when you pray, say, let me, come, Ajibola, you come here for a second. I should have kept you all up here. I realized I need to illustrate. So Ajibola, and Lord, you know what I mean. For sake of illustration, Ajibola represents Christ. And so Ajibola is teaching here, and he says, when you pray, say, he's telling me, you go to the Father, and actually we go to the Father, and you say, our Father. Because you know, for years, which art in heaven. See, I used to incorporate it as brothers and sisters in Christ, our Father. But Jesus is teaching the disciples, and we understand that we need Jesus to get prayer answered. But Jesus wants us to understand that if we're actually going to talk to God, that we're not going alone. That when we go to God, we, because of salvation and Christ actually living in us, he teaches us to pray and he wants us to say, our Father. Thank you. We're seated. And I thought about, you know, for years, I mean, I prayed earlier. What did I pray? In Jesus' name. And so many of my prayers through the years, and there again, I'm not trying to create some magical way to pray, but just understand what I'm saying. When I close my prayer in Jesus' name, I'm still praying by authority, but how much better would it be to actually, when I'm thinking about getting ready to pray, this represents the altar. I'm going to the altar to pray, but I'm not really going alone. I go and I say, our Father. Are you getting it? Our Father. Or our Father. No matter. He's here. Our Father, which art in heaven. And to me, that changes the whole dynamic of prayer. Because that which your own request could not do by yourself, getting back to the faith of the children, that which you desire that you did not feel not could be met, because you felt like, because they felt like there was a certain leaning of the Father toward the Son in that area, they believed their request would be answered. And so if we today, when we pray, really catch the glory, anybody saved and happy about itself? Okay, so everybody understand that when you're saved, that Christ actually lives inside of you? I can prove that in a moment if we need to. But so when the next time you bow your knee to pray, or however you pray, if you're driving, whatever, don't matter. When you say our Father, that puts a whole new dynamic on what you're about to ask God for. Number one, if you're praying our Father, number one, you'll know what not to ask for. But number two, you'll know what you can ask for. Our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Because the foundation, because if the hour is correct with the Father, I mean, it's going to be pretty hard to ask amiss that you may consume it on your lust. Because you're taking with you someone that did not live for his own lust. Are you with me? And you're taking someone that did not live for himself. And so if you catch the reality of that and you say, and think of how many less discouraging prayers would you and I have had if we were, when we were going to the throne of grace, we actually really, really believed we were saying, "Our Father." I mean, there's a lot of ridiculous things that I ask God for. I never would ask Him for if I really been thinking about the reality that I'm going to our Father. Because as I think about the life of the Son, I think what the Son represents, what the Son lives for, how can I go with the Father's Son and ask for something that I know totally against what the Son stands for? It's hard to ask amiss that I may consume of all my lust, again, as if I go with our Father. But then the reality of this, okay, my Father is greater than the door. My Father is greater than the thief. My Father is greater than the good shepherd. My Father is greater than the devil. In fact, if I miss anything, my Father is greater than all. And Jesus wants me to know that the Father, the Son of the living God, God in the flesh, wants me to know that when I go to the Lord in prayer, that it's our Father. It's our Father. It also acknowledges the reality. The Bible tells us we're joint heirs with Christ. If you think about everything the Bible teaches about, we're a joint heir with Christ. To be a joint heir with Christ, we share the same Father. And that hour, going to God in prayer, again, opens up the endless possibilities of prayer. Because when I'm going, it's funny how we think sometimes, just because Satan messes with our mind. But if I'm trying to go to God on the merits of my own faith, man, I can get discouraged very easily. And I'm thinking, well, Lord, I don't deserve this, I don't deserve that. But Jesus said, I'll have mercy and not sacrifice. Okay, and everything that Jesus came to this earth for was for mercy. To show the mercy and the goodness of God, to lead us to repentance. And so Jesus said, when disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. Well, I said, the very most fundamental thing of everything you need to understand before you ask God for one thing, you need to embrace the reality that you are not going to the Father alone. And you're not going to the Father without a close personal relationship. You're going to the Father with His favorite Son. And you're going, oh, thank you, Lord. And remember what Jesus said to heaven when He was getting ready to raise Lazarus from the dead? You're going to the Father with the Son that the Father always hears. Remember what He said? He was about to raise Him from the dead. Lord, I know that Thou hearest me always, but for the people I said it. And so the next time you begin to pray, and see, let me help you out. You know, I count not myself apprehended to the possibility that somebody else hasn't apprehended either. But if you want to get your life back on track, with the one that gave His life so you could be on track, you're going, He said, but I don't really feel like, you know, I've tried coming to God before. I don't really feel sincere. I don't really know. I did the same thing, whatever. But Jesus is with you because He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And in due time, when we were without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. So even without strength, you might just start today and say, "Oh, Father, I just need to start again. Lord, I need You to renew me. I need You to forgive me. I just need You to guide me." Or maybe you're right now. Maybe you're walking completely in a relationship with God like You'd have You to be, but yet you see the next step, and you know you don't have the strength in of yourself to take that step. You don't have the wisdom to take that step. I our Father. Woo! Can you imagine? Think about it. You know, we have people, you know, we name drop in the world, but I mean, this God wants you to name drop. God wants you to know that you're going, you're saying, our Father. Number one, it's hard to be arrogant. It's hard to have the wrong spirit in prayer if you truly are catching the magnitude of our Father. Because if I'm going with our Father, if I'm praying in behalf of somebody, or if I've catch the reality of who I'm actually going to prayer with, I'm not going to have any condescending words toward who I'm even praying for. And I'm sure not going to be praying from a position of superiority, because the reason I'm going with our Father, because if it were not for Christ, I wouldn't even have a leg to stand upon, you know. There's an old song, I can't think who wrote it, but I can't even walk without you holding my hand. You know, I was preaching at the men's meeting. I think I mentioned it here. And I told him, I said, Brother Hammond told me November the year before, supposed to preach in May, and I was going to lose all this weight, and I was going to be in trim, and I was going to be in shape, and because I didn't want to be in distraction, to be an obese preacher, and I listened to some tips from my wife, which were bad, good advice, by the way, but I looked and Googled some old other things, and things they're going to try to do, and I started probably at least 30 times to lose weight. And finally, about 3 weeks before the conference, it hit the Lord just said, you know what? He said, when are you going to get this? You are so incredibly weak that you can't even lose weight without my help. That's what God told me. Now, I praise God for those of you that are stronger than I am, but for me, God let me know that I was so incredibly weak. And I just saw they had the mission on YouTube, and I looked at it, I said, I'm a big brother. Man. Anyway, that's beside the point. But God let me know my extraordinary weakness to even do something that I used to could do. I'm like, my wife used to be so frustrated to me. I could go out in a week and lose 10 pounds just like that. But God brought me to a place that, you know, you're not even going to be able to lose one without me. And because so many things I tried to go, Lord, would you please help me? Lord, I want to be a good example. I want to lose some weight for you, because I'm going to preach some strong things about Jesus Christ. And Lord, how does it look if I'm preaching these things about Jesus Christ and everything he was, and I got this frame that looks like I have no self-control and no temperance whatsoever. Lord, I just don't want to be of that example. Was anything wrong with that prayer? Did the motive sound right? The only problem was that our Father. Because that, number one, that purified my motive. Because remember, Jesus, he made himself no reputation. And see, if I actually go with Jesus, I find out now. Now, Jesus, am I really going because I don't want to be a bad testimony? Or am I going because I want to be thin like I was when I was younger? Because you had no form nor comeliness, we should desire you. And there's nothing, as you walked the earth, there was nothing about you that really just stood out to people. So am I really going? Is that the real reason? And then as you commune with God, you find out. And then you say, our Father. So everything changes when you go in Jesus' name. And you go with the Father. You know, and next time you talk to the Lord, I want you to think about his teaching on prayer. You know, isn't it great to go to prayer with the one that the Father hears always? Because he was saying, I know that you hear me always. And the one that he heard, he raised the dead. The endless possibilities of prayer if we go with the Savior's Son. And he's always there, but the faith to believe that what we ask for is not really there if we don't catch the reality of the power that it means to go with our Father. So we're going to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to take some prayer requests and some things that I want you to just take a few moments and think about what it means, if you're saved, to actually pray with Jesus. To actually go to the throne of the Father, which is greater than all. First question you might have to confront is, do I really believe what the Bible says, that my Father is greater than all? Because you have to confront that, and then once you establish that, then, because if God is greater than all, that means He's actually in control of everything. And if He's greater than all, then it means something to you to go with His Son. But if you haven't got to the faith part to where you believe that your Father is greater than all, then it won't really encourage you very much to go with the Son. I want you to just reflect on the Word of God for the next few moments, and I hope you'll trust what the Bible says, and then I want you to seek the Lord for some things that you believe we can pray for together, based on the reality that our Father is greater than all, and great based on reality that we can go to the Father with His Son. And you may not have any requests today, and maybe the things you're dealing with may be more personal than something you can voice publicly. But hopefully, just meet the Lord and go from there. Take a moment.